Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. You would think that, the 60 Minutes interview that Trump did last night, if you had an opportunity to see it, well, most people didn't, of course, and so now this reaction through conservative punditry, it's like this wave. You would have thought that Trump got up and said that he basically wanted to, resurrect Lenin from the grave. No, I mean, it's true. It's the 5 days after the election, and there's this just this reaction across the board of fear that he's gone full Jeb Bush. You saw one host said it's worse. We've got Jeb Bush. All right, I'm going to break it down for you because this is not my take on it at all in any way, shape, or form. Now, so we got to look at the 60 Minutes interview and I'll explain where that fits. And then also look at that Obama press conference today. Man, oh man, oh man, did he look dour or what to you? Did you watch that? He was so condescending. And it was like the speech that he gave the day after the election, where he spoke to staff and he had to calm all those millennials in the West Wing. I spied some coloring books out in the crowd. Well, and when Obama gets that contemplative look and he starts to slowly pace his words, and every time in between every word, there's a long gap and he stares off into space. Let me tell you, that is him literally still in shock over this election. And you should delight in it. Okay. You should let's savor it, because the Obama of yesterday with his proclamations of power and, and it brings me back to the he won speech, right? You remember this during the whole healthcare debate, Obama was the guy who told the Republicans, "Hey, I won. Get over it. It's my way. We're doing it my way. We won the election." And now the way it's sounding is Obama wants everybody to. Well, what does he want? He's trying to convince Trump and all these commentators, right? All these people that had it wrong all this time anyway are now trying to tell you that look at this. This is evidence. Trump is taking, Trump's listening to Obama. He's listening to him. And I am reminded of this and I'll tell you, it reminds me of, when you have a terminated employee. Okay, well, I don't know how it happens in your workplace, but where I work, when somebody's done, they're done. You take away their key card, everything. You wrap it up, you terminate them, and there's nothing left to do. But some places they actually let you work for a while. It's a weird deal, or there's a new person coming in to take your job. You know that, so maybe not somebody who was terminated, but maybe an employee who has, is moving on, and there's a replacement coming. So humor me here. Trump's the replacement, okay? Obama's the guy that's being asked to move on. Now, you know what you do when you've got that person that's moving on? You kind of humor them a little bit. They start telling you, "Well, this is how we use the copier, and this is how," and you're like, "Yeah, you know what? I know how to use a copier, and I'm probably going to do it better than you are, but I'll hear you out." And that's the impression. Look, that is the impression I'm getting right now from it's Trump is being in that meeting in the White House. Trump was being deferential, and it's the correct, responsible, and respectful thing to do. It's a good strategy. And then especially when you take in consideration the riots that are going out there across America, these idiots out on the street. And exactly true, by the way, what he said in that interview, that 60 Minutes interview, which was taped last week, since it was taped, you know, we found out that these professional protesters out there, these guys that are paid for by Soros' organizations, I mean, they're out there. They're getting paid. We've seen the ads that are popping up on Craigslist all over. And so we know that, you know, they're professional agitators out there. And then tell me if this isn't enraging. So we got the big, you know, big here in L.A., big protest, bunch of public school kids out there protesting. And what are they doing? They're waving Mexican flags. You know, why? You're right. I did bring my Trump socks to Mexico. So, but can you imagine if I emigrated to Mexico and I was protesting the Mexican government by waving an American flag? That would not fly. Not for a minute. Talk about disrespect. And so Trump, and he already had to call the widow of one of the officers that was slain. So he's trying to put a lid on it. So everybody needs to take a major chill pill on this. Trump's not giving it up. But he did come through on and he was really candid in the interview. So in the 60 Minutes interview, they asked him about the wall. Are you really, Mr. President-elect, are you really serious about, I mean, Leslie Stahl, she was going at it. You really serious about building the wall? Trump says, yeah, no, I am. Oh, now I'm hearing some things about a fence. Could it be that the fence, you know, and he said, yeah, well, you know, some places the fence might be. And that admission alone has sent everyone into a tailspin. So, I mean, look, there are certain places in the border that are really difficult to get through, and there's some places that aren't. I don't know. I'd like a giant wall all the way through. In fact, I'll tell you, I think that the wall, now this is a direct, I'm telling you, this is a direct, I'm speaking to all the people that haven't gotten over themselves yet. It's time to approach this with a little bit of humor. Why, right? Look, The wall should be the screening process. Think about it this way. You know that show American Ninja Warrior? Is that what it is? Is that the show, Robbie? So there's all these, if you haven't seen the show, it's pretty entertaining. A series of obstacles you have to climb over in order to, you know, climb up and over in order to win. If the walls, the higher the wall, the harder it is to get into this country. So I'm just saying, you know, I mean, I could see Trump turning it into a challenge. Maybe it could be a reality TV show, The Great Border Challenge. You make it over, you're in. You don't make it over, sorry. Try again next season. He's showing himself to be measured. He's showing himself to be taking things into consideration. Doesn't he look like Peter Tilden was right. It does look, you know, you heard what he was saying about how it just looks like he's got the weight of the world on him. He definitely does not look like campaign Trump, which is what I'm telling all of my people on the other side who are just despondent. Did I tell you I had someone crying in the office? You probably know people like that. Literally the day after the election, she was in tears. And I was like, look, nothing is as good or as bad as it seems. And so this is what I'm telling conservatives as well as liberals. Look, he's probably not going to implement everything that you... Now speaking to conservatives, everything that he promised you. And to liberals, don't worry, he's not going to implement everything that he promised the conservatives. Okay? There it goes. Right? And that is the way it works. And that is the way it was with Obama and Bush and others. But that Obama press conference, that was just, you know, and the best part about it, there's some quote he said about turning the keys. You know, we're going to do everything we can to turn over the keys to, you know, it's like we're going to make sure the car is in good running condition. Good running condition. Yo, Obama, you lost the election. Let me, if in case you didn't notice, because the car is not in good working condition. Wink, wink. You know, and this is the thing. He lives in, I'm telling you, this guy lives in a parallel. It's just in a completely different universe. So now you survey all this media. Leslie Stahl, by the way, doing this interview, And I know that it all ties together. The 60 Minutes piece, Obama's press conference. The left is in total shock. They are in shock. Leslie Stahl looked like she couldn't even believe she was having to interview him. The look on her face, honestly, the look on her face is priceless. So now we know. And by the way, so in all of this, I don't think Obama has figured it out yet exactly what has happened. He doesn't get it. And so he's lecturing Trump. He's telling him, what did he say in the press conference? It's a lot harder to govern. It's a lot harder to lead. Exactly. So what Trump's going to have to do is it's probably going to be tough. But he reconfirmed his commitment to work really hard. I mean, they asked him about vacations. You're really not going to take any vacations? Yeah. No, there's a lot to do. We got a lot to do. So here's a man who, what does he sleep, 4 hours a night? He'll probably work more in his first year in office than Obama did in all 8. So, if you don't like his policies, you've got something to worry about, because I'm telling you, Trump's going to be devastatingly effective. Rance Priebus, great choice. That's my opinion. It's his new chief of staff. Your chief of staff is the circus master, okay? He's the guy who has to keep everybody in play, working nicely together. You need a diplomat. Rance Priebus ran the RNC. You want to talk about a circus? You want to talk about a three-ring circus? That's the RNC. He ran it. And he's done so, I think, what is this, 3 or 4 terms? He's been there a while. And the other thing, you want someone who knows how the system works, who has everybody on speed dial, who can talk to Mitch McConnell, who can talk to all these insiders. You want that. But I don't see that as a capitulation of any kind. And maybe it's because I'm an optimist. Okay, I'm an internal optimist when it comes to this stuff. I'm going to let the man prove himself and show us what he can do. But certainly picking Priebus over Bannon, who's the former CEO of Breitbart, who was the CEO of the Trump campaign. Right. He's now there as a senior advisor. And that's an appropriate role for him, because it's somebody that can craft policy. That's who you want generating ideas. But you need someone who's got a great political organizational ability to steer and move the ship forward. And you have to have somebody who's diplomatic, because this is, again, an example of where I think Trump is going to excel as a leader, because you're going to have someone who's got executive experience and knows how to pick the right people. And what he proved in the campaign was, when you don't have the right people in the right spots, you make changes. And he wasn't afraid to make those changes. So I wouldn't look here, if I'm looking toward the future, don't look at any of these picks as being in stone either. Everybody's saying, well, you picked this person, you're gonna, oh my God, stand of the world. No, Trump's going to, he'll probably make more changes than the average president in the first term. Most presidents don't make a lot of changes. They stick with their people throughout the first term, maybe start making some changes in the second term if there is one. It's a very common practice. But I expect things to be a little different, because I think there's going to be a lot more pressure to get things done. And that, of course, is probably not good news if your last name ends with Obama. Because I promise you, I mean, he's making nice and he's trying to get Trump is trying to get Obama's, goodwill. It's that employee. Okay, all right. All right, Barack, I got it. We got it. Yeah, I get it. I understand that's how the copier works, But in his mind, he's like, I'm going to outsource this stuff to Kinko's. That's what he's thinking. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's him being diplomatic, and it's him being the, it's him being the person that so many people thought he wasn't. So I don't see how this is bad news at all in any way, shape, or form. And I think we all just need to take a chill pill and let this thing develop. How many employees are they hiring? By the way, what is it? 4,000? They got to fill 4,000 appointments in the West Wing, in the great, the greater White House infrastructure, human infrastructure. It's crazy. And you only got 60 days to do it. If you think about that, that's insane. Yeah, I bet Hillary already had all those appointments made. You know, she probably already handed out letters of intent to. Yeah, well, no. Well, we're going to follow that, whether they got their money back or not. But anyway, so look, did you hear that CNN has written a book? This is such a joke. Okay. It's called Unprecedented. And it's been in the news today. Let me tell you about it right when we get back. Brief time out here. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
So before you all have a cow over my suggestion that the border be turned into what did we call it? The challenge of the great border crossing challenge. Look, there's an amusement park, okay? There's an amusement park that recreates this exact thing in Mexico. Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. It's a real thing. There's a Mexico. Yeah, where is this? It's called Echo Alerto. And it's in El Alberto, Mexico. And they have, they have a whole, like, you got to wade through mud, tunnels, you cross rough terrain, and you simulate what it's like to cross the border as an illegal immigrant. Cost? 250 pesos. I guess it's meant to dissuade people from actually going through it. So, it doesn't say anywhere that it's operated by Trump International. I don't see that anywhere here, but I could be wrong. well, okay. So did you see this book? CNN is coming out with a book on the election. By the way, here's a pro tip. Don't buy any book about the election 5 days after the election. Okay? So you need time. You just need time to digest all of this. What we know for certain is not a lot. We know Trump won. We know that everybody and their mother thought that he would lose. Well, with the exception of me and the show. But, and it was, we know it was, we know it was earth shattering. That much we know, but you can't start writing a postmortem about it. You can't. You got to give time for things to settle in, for people to come out of the woodwork, good sources. So CNN has written a book about, I think they called it Unprecedented. And everybody's quoting from it today about this Chris Christie endorsement, that really it was Trump that had promised that he would endorse Christie. And I'm thinking, I'm listening to this drivel. And I go, you know, CNN, that got literally everything wrong about this election, like in 100%. CNN, they could not, if it had to do with this election, they could not find their way out of a brown paper bag. And you're going to trust them with what they have, the scoop that they have, the anatomy of the postmortem of this surprise Trump victory? Surprise in air quotes. What a joke. This reminds me, by the way, pulling out from the bottom of my stack of stuff here, an article from The Onion. Well, that's a reputable source. No, it's a, don't put away your judgment. Let me tell you. New York Times, here's the title. New York Times publisher vows to rededicate paper to reporting honestly. Only it's not The Onion, it's from Fox News. I thought it was an onion. I pulled this up and I almost fell out of my chair. Did you hear the Sulzberger? You know, Arthur Sulzberger, the publisher of the New York Times, had to write a really embarrassing mea culpa where, you know, it's like, we, in all of this whole thing, we forgot our journalistic standards. You never had any to begin with, you idiot. I mean, when was the last time the New York Times really, like, did a hard-hitting piece? Do you know the last time they wrote a mea culpa? I'll remind you. They don't reference this. And Fox has a short memory, too. Do you remember they were big time in support for, now I'm talking like Trump, look at that, bigly. They were just bigly supporting the invasion of Iraq. And they were quoting all these sources, people confirming that there were weapons of mass destruction and that there were these huge facilities that were housing, chemical weapons. And then they had to sort of say, I think like 6 or 7 years later, oops, we blew it. We were relying on a bunch of sources that weren't really that good to begin with. It turns out they weren't reliable, and we're really sorry about that. Please take us back. The New York Times has almost had to apologize to its readers more often than Bill has apologized to Hillary and crawled back to the marital abode. I think they've lost credibility permanently. At least if not permanently, then at least for a while. Okay. Plenty more coming right up after this. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790, KABC. I left the bubble today. I did. I was up in LA. I hit so many potholes in one area. I thought I was going to run into one of these guys here, Ahmad Khan Rahami or somebody, because I felt like I was in Afghanistan. It was unbelievable.
I got a dial tone.
If you'd like to make a call,
dial 800-222-5222, because the KABC phone lines are open.
Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Do you see that Miss Piggy hasn't been deported yet? I guess. I'm sorry, Alicia Machado. But they finally tracked her down in the airport. And it looks like, she's that gal who had a big kerfuffle with Trump. She's the Miss Universe pageant winner who claimed that that Trump called her Miss Piggy, and Miss Housekeeping as well. But it hasn't happened yet. She's still here, appears to be very much firmly feet planted in the U.S., and claims that her people are worried. No word on what she means by her people. Okay, we've got some callers. I know, so much to talk about. So let me let's take a phone call. Let's see, is Rick there? Rick, are you there?
I'm right here. Thank you, Sam.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Doing great.
Excellent. So here's my message to Hillary Clinton's supporters, okay? I know you're depressed. I know you're angry. I know you're frustrated. I know some of you are hopeless. And you think the guy's a buffoon and a racist and a sexist and a homophobe and a fat, white, rich, capitalist pig ad infinitum. One thing he is. He's a winner. He beat your candidate fair and square. He beat your candidate. He beat a biased liberal media, and he beat turncoats in his own party. So, with nothing else, you've got a winner. You've got someone who's going to be effective in the White House.
But now, let me ask you something though. Here's the thing. I mean, I'm just going to say this. There are a lot of people that are listening to you, and they are terrified because the last thing that they want is somebody who's going to be devastatingly effective at advancing the agenda that they don't want advanced.
Okay.
So what's your thought on that?
Here's my thought on that. Usually the way it goes, because listen, I wasn't thrilled when Obama got elected, and all I did was put on my pants and went to work.
You didn't riot?
No.
I thought you and I were out there rioting, weren't we? We're just burning police cars. Right. No, we had jobs to get to pay for all that BS that he was going to pay for using our money. But anyway, go ahead.
Whatever. So here's my thing to those that are, like, terrified. give it a shot. Why don't you see in 2 to 4 years if President-elect Trump and a Republican Congress doesn't make the country possibly better, and your personal life, I have a feeling, will probably not be affected one way or the other, or it might even be better. If that happens in 2 to 4 years, then why don't you, you will have to admit that he wasn't, he and Republicans were not the devil incarnate. That's what I ask you. Give it a shot. See what happens. Nothing's happened yet. Unless you're a criminal and you're here illegally, you might get arrested or deported. He has already said that, you know, the next thing about, you know, the children of illegal immigrants, he'll cross that bridge when he gets there.
Right.
Nobody's coming with trucks to their homes to take them away, you know. He just relax.
Well, and now let me ask you that. Now, him moderating, I'm just going to presume something here, that you're possibly a Trump supporter before the election. Is that a fair assessment?
I'm a conservative. I wasn't enamored with either of them, to be honest, but I was, I'm not a socialist, and I didn't like Hillary. I didn't trust her as far as I could throw her.
All right. So now, do you view him, what he's doing now, and certain pronouncements that he's made after the election, to be signs of him moderating his positions?
A little, possibly, and you know what? Welcome to politics. You want to survive in Washington? If you want to get your stuff done, you do have to work with people. You got to be smart. You just can't be tough. You got to be smart. And like you say, his choices, I can never pronounce that guy's name.
I can't either. You know, my staff is yelling at me here. I think, what is it, Rince?
Rince Priebus.
We'll just call him Prince Rebus. How about that?
Okay. That's easy. Great choice. Smart guy. Someone that can play both sides of the fence. Hey, politics and business, they're not that different.
No, they really aren't. They aren't. And Rick, I'm sorry I got to go. Thanks so much for calling in. Hard out here. But anyway, listen, you're absolutely right. That's exactly it. And I'll take it from me. You don't succeed in business by having it your way, all the time. You have to be able to give and take. And that, I think, we're going to see in a Trump presidency. All right, back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Talk radio,
790 KABC.
The Playmate in Laguna. This is like a few miles from my house, because we are, you know, reporting from deep within or behind the orange curtain. So this what's her name? Ashley Mattingly. Producer Robbie had to do some research. Found there's no Wikipedia listing for her. But she is listed on Boobpedia, for what that's worth. Okay, so what happened is she gets. She mixes herself a very strong drink and gets totally smashed. Gets on her golf cart, which, unfortunately for her, has her initials painted on it in pink, giant pink letters. And then riding down the hill from her house in Laguna Beach, she crashes into four parked cars. Ends up with a gash on her forehead. And let me tell you something. These golf carts are dangerous. I have a very good friend who got critically injured in a golf cart because you think you're fine. You're just moving at a slow rate of speed, but you hit people, you hit trees, you hit things, you fall out of it because there are no seatbelts. If you have anyone who is listed on Boobpedia that is drunk, that is riding her or his, I guess, I don't want to, you know, it's 2016, is riding their golf cart and they smash into you. What you got to call Sweet James. You do. Because, listen, it's covered. A lot of these accidents are covered by insurance. But the insurance companies a lot of times will tell you, hey, it's not covered. It's not covered. And they'll try to give you the runaround. Don't get caught in that game. Don't do any. Just what do? We always tell you here. You call Sweet James. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. and he will help you get through it. All right, Sam Rzhovsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790, KABC. And, speaking of websites that track various things, not necessarily models here, did you see there's a website now that is one of these progressive, goofy progressives websites. They're tracking on a map incidents where people of color are harassed by Trump and his supporters. And, they use a Google map and then they superimpose little Trump heads, little pictures of Trump's face. You see this? Yeah, and little pictures of Trump's face in all the areas where it's happening. Now, I know the statistic that he won the election in something like 93% of the counties where there's a Cracker Barrel. Have you heard this? So you would think, yeah, whatever. Robbie's correcting the statistic. I've seen it both ways. But anyway, so you would think that it would be Cracker Barrel country where this stuff is going on. Now, fortunately for you all, I am a student of geography, and I am looking at this map, and what I'm seeing is a large number of these attacks. Okay, we'll play along with this. These attacks are all happening in metropolitan areas. In fact, I mean, with the exception of some of this Rust Belt here, which ended up tilting to Trump, I mean, I'm looking at this and it's a lot of places where Hillary led and won. I mean, it's all over California. It's in New Jersey. I mean, it's in Virginia. I know I realize Trump, but also major cities is where it's at. There's even a Trump head in Vermont. It's all part of this totally false narrative, okay, about how this all is going. Which, and by the way, this is not where you'd expect these attacks to be happening. That's another thing. Which just leads me to say that there's confrontations that are not being reported accurately to the site. And what my guess is, honestly, is that a lot of these altercations are initiated by the despondent Hillary losers who are picking fights with Trump supporters. You see somebody with a Trump sticker or a Trump hat and they pick a fight and then they make it all about, you know, oh, he called me a name. Oh, my feelings. Where's my coloring book? Someone help me. It's crazy. That's crazy. If I have to see another crying celebrity, I swear I'm going to be sick. Okay. We'll be back right after this. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Certainly, I wouldn't do that to you. Not like Bill Clinton did to his love child. I wouldn't dream of abandoning you guys.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
What Charlie Beck, LAPD police chief, today announced that he would not be enforcing any executive orders from a Trump administration to deport illegal immigrants. We talked about this earlier. This protest downtown. Which protest? Good question. So there's these people waving Mexican flags protesting Trump. So remember when Hillary called Trump supporters what did she call them? Like a basket of deplorables? Little did we know that Hillary supporters were a basket of deportables. Because if I were Beck, I'd just roll up to that parade. I mean, you look, the absurdity of it. There's an estimate that about 3 million. Yeah, that's a huge number, by the way. 3 million illegal immigrants voted in this election. Wrap your heads around that. And I'll tell you something. If you think that me criticizing this is sort of an alt-right crazy, conservative position, Here is what Chris Matthews said immediately following this was right as it was beginning to be apparent that Trump was winning. And Rachel Maddow, of course, was yapping like a Pomeranian that she is. But this is what Chris Matthews said to her to shut her down about immigration and the Democratic Party. Have a listen to this, Jim.
I never heard it come out against illegal immigration. Did you?
You think she should have run?
Did you ever? No.
She should have tried to get to Trump's right on that issue?
No. I think the country's against illegal immigration. And it's a serious bit. I've never heard a country that didn't have a border, didn't have a work permit, didn't get serious about it. And I think that business wants the cheap labor and the Democrats want the votes. And that's why you know what the solution to the immigration problem is? What we have right now. That's what the Democrats want. That's what the Republicans want. What we have right now, this Michigas, this craziness. And I think that Trump took advantage of it. And I don't think it's racism.
I don't think it's racism. This is Chris, I have a tingle going up my leg, Matthews. For Obama, yeah. I mean, remember that? Talk about objective journalism. Yeah, he ought to get a job at the New York Times. That's crazy. They're finally, and this is why you don't want to trust a book that's already been written about what happened in this election. Because what is going to come through on all this is there's going to be a lot of soul searching, okay? And the Democrats have got to go see some shrinks. I'm sorry I didn't get to everybody's calls. I'll tell you one thing quick. Let's see here. Yeah, TJ, Palos Verdes, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, TJ, so you lost a bet. I want to hear about it real quick. I got just a minute left here.
Oh, yeah, I lost a bet to my college roommate. I really thought Gary Johnson was going to hit 10% of the popular vote, and I lost the bet by a mile, and my college roommate, the terms of my loss were that I were to wear a Hillary T-shirt to the Ronald Reagan Library and post the photo on social media. But so yesterday I drove up there, and I wore a suit. I got a pink Hillary Clinton T-shirt from my neighbor. And then after I took the picture, I put my jacket back on, you know, out of respect for Ronald Reagan, who always wore a jacket in the Oval Office. And it was just remarkable. And our 10-year-old daughter and I had just, like, the best time. And it's just from losing a bet. I mean, I wouldn't have considered driving all the way to Simi Valley.
Of course, there's so many layers to this. But let me ask you something.
Yes.
Were you accosted by any right-wing Trump fanatics who are, you know, throwing stuff at you for wearing a Hillary shirt?
No. And like I said, people were a little testy. I thought I was going to win the bet and Hillary was going to win the election, but when neither of those things happened, I only had my jacket off long enough to do the photo op in front of the library.
And then you put it back, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I got a compliment on the shirt, and I told the lady, you know, the 45-second story about how I lost the bet, and she thought it was just awesome. So,
well, TJ, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate that. It's a great story, but you know, can you imagine if you went to the Bill Clinton Presidential Library wearing a Trump shirt? Just can you imagine what would happen to you? You'd be eaten alive, no joke. Okay, we're off tomorrow for the Kings. Go Kings, go! And back here on Wednesday with lots and lots of good stuff to talk about. So, as always, a pleasure, and see you on Wednesday. All right? Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.